We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Well, we're going to get straight into the Word because there's a lot I want to do today. And I just want to, Demi, if you weren't here, we talked about, with this series is called Get In Over Your Head. And we talked about just trying to give people an understanding as to who the Holy Spirit is. We talked about He's God, He's a person. We talked about He's gentle, He's in charge of present operations. He is life in Himself. We talked about what He's like. He's like fire, He's like wind, He's like oil. He's like a dove, He's a simile, He's like water. We talked about getting into the river with Ezekiel. And it says that out of the temple came a trickling, and then it says it was knee deep. That's your walk with God. And then we talk about it's knee deep. It's learning how to actually pray, get on your knees, and actually know what it is to have the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and learn how to let the Holy Spirit pray through you. And then we talk about waist deep. And that, of course, is all to do, I think, to do with your loins. It's actually, in other words, where your reproductive systems are. And I believe it's talking to you and I about our purity and our walk with God. Amen. And so I just think to me, and then it says, and then he was swimming in the river of God. And the whole thought was, get in under your head. The river was so strong and flowing so powerful that he was unable to get over the other side. And when he came out of the riverbank, the Bible says that this unnamed guide said, look around you. And then this great prophet Ezekiel noticed there were trees and fully grown fish, and there's a sense of maturity when you get in under your head. And I believe there are some people still who maybe once was flowing in the things of God, but the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, you can actually lose sight of that. You can actually lose that powerful, wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the disciples, and unquestionably, and the Samaritans, they were born again. They had a work of the Spirit, a work of salvation. But subsequently, another moment happened in Scripture. We looked at the Samaritans. We looked at Cornelius. We looked at Ephesus. We looked at the Apostle Paul himself. And we looked at all these different times in Scripture where they were consequently later filled with the Spirit and were given a heavenly prayer language. That's called getting in over your head. Well, today, I want to take it a little further. I want to talk to you about this idea of what is an open heaven. And I'm talking to everybody online, and I'm talking to each and every campus today, and I want you to all look in your Bibles to Genesis 28, and I want to show you what I believe is beyond the three-dimensional world in which we live. Let me start by saying this. When Jesus, the Bible says, resurrected, and he sat down and he ate with the disciples, and the Bible says he ate fish. And here is the resurrected Savior. He's no longer living on the earth as a man, but now he's the risen Savior. But he appears in the form of a man. And he's talking with the disciples, but he's now the resurrected Savior. He's now the glorified Son of God. He has now shown his blood as a sacrifice for forgiveness of all mankind. Anybody? He's in his resurrected state. Amen? And the Bible says that Jesus didn't go out through the door like normal people would. He went through the wall. Well, how did he do that? Well, let me say this, that in science they will teach you, and I'm going to give you the roughest and the poorest definition, but it will do, that if you put your hand and you put it in a bucket of water, your hand will go through the water because the bucket of water, the water has less substance to it. In other words, what's made up of particles and gas, that which is more solid gives way, breaks through that which is less solid. And so if I were to try to put my hand through this piece of Perspex today, chances are the Perspex would win. Are you hearing me? Some of you might think, there's no way I could break that Perspex. You probably could, but I'm not going to try it because it's more real than my hand is. It's more solid. You with me here? How did Jesus walk through a wall? Because in his risen, resurrected state, he's spirit man, who he really is. And the spirit world is more real, more solid, more tangible than this world in which we live. The wall had to give way because even though wood is solid and dense, actually is temporary, but Jesus is in his resurrected eternal state, and that which is more real has to give way to that which is less real. Anybody catching this? I want to show you the spirit world. I want to show you that the spirit world is more real and more powerful and more tangible and more has more substance to it. And we get so locked into our three-dimensional world. We get so ruled by time. We get so ruled by what's happening around us that we lose sight of a coexisting spirit world. And if we're not careful, we can actually get conformed to this world rather than understand what's really going on. Watch this, Genesis 28, verse 6, verse 12. He had a dream, this is speaking of Jacob, in which he saw a stairway or a ladder resting on the earth and with its top reaching to heaven. This is stairway to heaven right there. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and now the God of Jacob. And I, the Lord, the God of your father, am with you, Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land which you are lying. He goes, your descendants will be like the dust on the earth, and you will spread out from the west to the east, to the north to the south, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And I am with you, and I will watch over you. And wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. And when Jacob woke up, look at this, from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Jacob, the Bible tells us, was a schemer. He was a liar. He was a manipulator. He was a controller. Anybody know someone like that? Anybody, that person, you're willing to admit it? He was so desperate to get God's blessing. He so wanted the Father's blessing that he would do anything. He would lie, steal, cheat, manipulate. He ripped his brother off. He went in with his mother and deceived his father. And now because of it, Esau, his brother's mad, and he's running for his life. And he's trying everything to do what he can in his own natural strength to get what God wanted to give him all along. And then he comes in this dream, and all of a sudden he wakes up. He goes, God was in this? I just didn't know it. Can I tell you, there's a spirit realm that is literally right now more real than the chair you're sitting on. And God wants you and I to have our eyes open to see what's happening and not just be ruled by what's happening here on planet Earth. You could lose heart if you just notice what's happening here on planet Earth. You could somehow think that unless what you believe, it's like Jesus when he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Let me show you another verse here that I love that's in the Old Testament. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 6, watch this. When the servant, the man of God, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And look what he says. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Watch this. He gets up, he wakes up. He's the servant to Elisha the prophet. A whole army has been sent out against two men, and they surround these two men. Everywhere he looked, there was the army, horses and chariots. They were outnumbered. He runs inside to the prophet. What are we going to do? Unless Biden wins, we're in trouble. Unless Trump wins, we're in trouble. What are we going to do with COVID? What are we going to do? Three-dimensional. And this great prophet puts his arm around him. And listen to what he says. I go, come here, look at this. Oh, I love this. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He's like, hey, 1, 2, thousands. What are you talking about? So then Elijah says, God, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, the Bible says. And then he saw the angels and the angels of heaven. And they stood around this army. And the size of an angel's toe was the size of one of these men in the other camp's army. And they were going, go ahead, move, make my day. God opened his eyes. And it's my prayer today that God would open my eyes and your eyes to see what's happening, that we would get in over our head. Somebody say amen. If you're going to give God praise, you should do it properly. Watch this now. Watch this. It gets better. Hebrews in the New Testament. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Here's the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter. I think Paul was at least maybe one of the contributors to the book of Hebrews. But I always say it was, I got to stop and say, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. He had a say in it, no doubt. And here, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. Is that all right? You're very quiet this morning. What's up? You had too much sleep? Is that what it is? All right, listen. Here's the writer of Hebrews. And the picture I get is there's a Colosseum. And it says, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Can anybody see the pattern of the Old Testament? Can anybody see angels ascending and descending? God was in it and I just didn't know it. And now here they are again with Elisha, Elisha's servant, and they're surrounded. But then the cloud of witnesses, the angels that stood behind that army. And now the writer of Hebrews is saying, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, those who went on in faith before us, who've lived a life of faith, who are up in the grandstands of heaven going, come on, you can do it. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I'd love to pull a few out of that grandstand, but I don't have time. But I'm trying to give you a picture here of what's coexisting in this world. And we can be so locked into the temporary world. We can be so ruled by what we see and what we hear on social media. Come on, somebody. What we hear on the news and the people we talk to, that what you repeatedly hear, you will eventually believe. And I've come today to, come on, speak to you to the spirit realm and speak to the faith man in you and to speak to the spirit man in you. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I believe there's never been a day where we've needed faith like we need it today in Jesus' name. It says in Revelation chapter 3, I counsel you. How many are just in God's counsel? To buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich and white clothes to wear. And it says, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And look what it says, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. It is my greatest prayer for everybody watching online, for everybody in every campus that calls Wave Church your home, that God would anoint our eyes that we could see what's happening in the spiritual realm. That we wouldn't feel like that the world is, we're at the mercy of what the world says, but we're in the hands of a loving, powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're going to give God praise, you can do better than that. Come on, somebody. I'm believing today, faith is entering people's hearts. I love this scripture. Listen to this. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, small g, the God, small g, of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus replied to Simon when he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. And he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon answers and says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answers and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. You didn't get that on Fox News. You didn't get that on Instagram. Are you hearing me? You didn't get it in some news article, but my Father in heaven gave it to you. It was a revelation. It is my prayer today, church, that our eyes will be open to the realm that is actually more real, more solid, more tangible, more powerful than anything we live on planet Earth. I love this one here, Acts 16, verse 18. And this is speaking at a woman who was demon-possessed that was just following the Apostle Paul. And everywhere he went, she was declaring, this man comes from the most holy God, but he knew she was demon-possessed. She knew she was a distraction to the purposes of God. And it says she kept it up for many days, and finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. He didn't give her Ritalin. He didn't put her in a psychiatric hospital. He didn't marginalize her. He dealt with a spiritual problem, and it wasn't a natural thing. And I pray today in the church, our eyes will be open to what God is doing. Look at this verse. It says, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. By the way, Ritalin sometimes can be a good thing. You got to deal with things that are spiritual. You got to deal with things that are natural. We just need wisdom to know which is what. And it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he says he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. That word anointed means burden removing, yoke destroying. I believe in the power of God. I believe we got to get in over our head. I believe we got to open ourselves up to what God wants. That river that flows out of Ezekiel that talks about coming out of the temple is speaking prophetically about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And I believe it's also speaking prophetically about a river that God is doing something and being filled with the Holy Spirit and understanding what God is doing on planet Earth today. It was a prophetic revelation for a day that you and I are living in. And I'm praying today that we would get in over our head, that we would understand why God has anointed us. Look what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, burden removing, yoke destroying. That bondage you have, that which you're attached to, that yoke that you can't get out from under, that the anointing of God can break it off your life. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. That burden you feel, that weight, that heaviness, that cloud, that depression, that anxiety, if you knew that the anointing of God is available for you and for I, look what Jesus said. Put it back up on the screen. He says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe this, church. I believe with all my heart. Can anybody say amen? Amen. I'll give you one more scripture. Mark 16. Now, if I were the devil, I would do everything I could to question the integrity of these verses. Listen to what he said. And these signs, this is Jesus now. He's resurrected. He's leaving planet Earth. And he's telling you and he's telling me the signs that will follow a Bible-believing Christian. Are you hearing me? These signs, let me tell you something. Whatever you believe, there are signs following. Are you hearing me? Whatever you believe, there will be signs following what you believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will pray in new tongues. We prayed for people last week to get in over your head and to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to pick up a heavenly prayer language. They will pick up snakes with their hands. I don't recommend you try that one. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Look at this verse. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Anybody believe that kind of a Bible today? Anybody believe that signs will follow what you believe? If the signs of negativity, anxiety, depression are following you, it's a sign of what you believe. If that's the story of my life. I remember when I first got saved and I first started preaching, and I remember the church I was a part of. Man, I'm telling you, it was an in over your head kind of church. To be telling you the truth, someone were drowning in over their head. They kind of needed a little bit of wisdom, but I'd rather cool down a fanatic than warm up a corpse any day. And I remember I was just discovering how God moves and how God works. And oh man, I tell you, it was powerful. I remember this one night as I was beginning to preach and God moved so powerfully. So many people put their faith in Jesus and people were getting healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God was moving. This young man walked up to me. I'll never forget it. And he walked up to me and he had these white shoes and he had white socks and he had a white pair of pants and he had a white shirt and he had a white belt. He had a white sweater and he had a white tie. He looked like he walked straight in off a laundry detergent commercial. Here a white, there a white, everywhere a white, white. Old McDonald was in white. And he says, I don't believe any of this stuff. He goes, I'm a Zen Buddhist. And all you're doing is hypnotizing people. And people aren't really getting healed. And people aren't, and people were, literally. You'd pray for them and they'd fall out under the power of God. Now that's in the Bible, by the way. Now I'm not one of those people that kind of, I sometimes get annoyed. I kind of think, listen, it's great that you fall over, but you please get back up and go back out there and change your world. Don't just come to church for the sensation of falling over. That's called learned behavior. But when God fills a room, and you are overcome with his presence, and you are so undone that your knees buckle under the weight and the omnipresence of God. Man, so this guy says to me, tell you what, you pray for me, and if I fall over, I'll believe in your God. I'll even give my life to him. And he says, come on, pray for me. And he braced himself like he was on a surfer. And I remember, and Mark Hopkins was with me when this happened. And Mark is at our Seaboard Road campus. How many love Mark and Sandy and think they're doing an awesome job? Mark will testify this is a true story. I closed my eyes and I went to put my hand on his head where he should have been standing. And I said, in the name of Jesus, where'd he go? I opened my eyes and he went straight down under the power of God. He was swearing cuss words under the power of God. How rude. And he went into this mind control thing. I'm in control. And I'm laughing. My friend, if you're in control, get up. He says, I can't. And I said, come on, we had a deal. If this happened, you're going to give your life to Jesus. Oh, no, he says. And I'm telling you, for 3 hours, we prayed with that young man. And by the end of 3 hours, he went, I give up. I've tried everything. And I got no answer to what God is doing in my life. And he gave his life to Jesus. That man became a worship pastor. He had an encounter with God that he'll never forget. And I'm just saying, church, come on. Some of us need to get back in over our head. Some of us need to start believing God for miracles again. Signs follow what you believe. 2 + 2 = 4, according to the world. But God says 2 + 2 = whatever I say it equals. And some of us are so ruled by a three-dimensional world, we've lost faith, we've lost sight to what God can do. He's a God of miracles. Sharon was in a meeting when we used to run a youth group back in the western suburbs of Sydney. And I remember one night we had a prayer meeting. And at the end of the prayer meeting, I said, young people, God's heard our prayers. They said, yeah, we know. I said, no, he sent angels into the room. They're here. And they're all going, do you know what it's like? Who knows what it's like? Where you're in a place with God, you're so aware of his presence that you're too scared to move. I don't mean scared in a fearful way, but it's just so wonderful that you don't want to do anything for it to stop. So if your hand's like this, you don't want to move it. If your eyes are open, you don't want to shut them. You don't want to do anything that disturbs that moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's like, and I said, it's like, ping, the hairs on the back of your head went up. You could tangibly feel the power and the presence of God. And I'm believing that for everybody that's watching us online right now, that the Holy Spirit is invading your house, your hotel, where you are right now, the tangible presence of God. I had a word of knowledge in our first service for somebody, I think it was in our Seaboard Road campus, with a tumor. And Mark Hopkins texted me and told me that that person in that Seaboard Road service came up to him and said the tumor had shrunk as I declared what God was doing. Come on, church. Give God some praise. I believe it. We got to get back in under our head, over our head. And as I said, the angels in the room, all of a sudden, an acoustic guitar And Sharon, is this a true story? Do you remember this? An acoustic guitar began to play all by itself. An angel came into the room and played the guitar. And I'm talking a riff. And I didn't know what to do. They never taught me that in Bible school. What do you do when an angel comes in and plays a guitar? I'm freaked out. I turn to my brother-in-law. I'm speechless. I'm like, some young people, man, they just went straight on their face and they're going, God, you're here. You are holy. You are awesome. Other young people jumped up and said, Lord, I confess this sin, this sin, this sin. I said to a few of them, you and I, we need to talk after all this is done. I said to my brother-in-law, what are we going to do? He said, let's worship God. I said, that's a very good idea. And it was his guitar the angel was playing. And now the angel stopped. I'll never forget what he did. He walked over to it. He goes, excuse me. Looking up, maybe the angel's there. He says, is it okay if I play this or do you want to keep playing? And I've got to tell you, that was the day I realized that heaven is more real, more powerful, more... Let me tell you, can I just say, there are angels on our side. Sharon and I just recently, we drove past somebody, a homeless person with a sign, obviously asking for money. And Sharon said, what will I give him? Will I give him a 5 or a 20? And I said, I didn't answer. I said, well, honey, you decide. I know, Sharon. I already know. But I'm thinking, what if it was an angel? Because the Bible says, entertain strangers. You never know. It could be an angel. Right. And I looked and I noticed that Sharon gave the person the 20. I wonder when we get to heaven, there might be some angels that go, we need to talk. Because right. I'm telling you, friends, this world's temporal. Right. What we do here, while we're alive, will determine whether heaven is more populated than hell. And some of us, all we can think about is getting through COVID and getting past an election. And God says, ask of me and I'll give you nations. I'm just here today. Come on, church. Let's think bigger. Let's not just get ruled by the three-dimensional world in which we live. There's a work to be done in the church. Can anybody say amen? So I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. I want everyone at home. If you're watching online, I want you to very much be a participator in this moment. I'm going to ask our singers and musicians to come on back. How many think these guys do a great job? There they are. And I just want to pray for some people this morning. I want to pray for some miracles. I want to pray for people at Great Neck. I want to pray for people at Seaboard Road and in Norfolk and in Richmond. I want to pray for people in Wilson. I want to pray for people in Greenville. And I'm believing God's going to come into this room and he's going to invade your life. I'm believing for people that need faith today, that faith will enter your heart. Faith comes by hearing. Listen, and hearing the word of God. The very fact that you're here today online, you are hearing the word of God being preached. Faith comes. Faith comes. 2 + 2 = whatever God says it does. You can believe God for that business. You can believe God for that partner. You will not be alone. You will not be lonely. Put God first and trust him in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. I'm believing God for supernatural turn. I'm believing for miracles. Do you know the difference between a healing and a miracle? Well, if I pray for you and you're blind and now you can see, that's a healing. Are you hearing me? But if you've had nothing in your business and your business is a fisherman and Jesus has put your nets down the other side, and all of a sudden there's a miraculous catch of fish, that's a miracle. And I believe for miracles for people in business today. I believe, God, for miracles in people's financial bank accounts. I'm believing, God, for miracles in people's families. Come on, for your child, a miracle. A miracle is like Jesus turning water into wine. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. The church created another miracle. They turned the wine back into water again. Miracles. What's a miracle? Listen, it's feeding 5,000 people with just a bit of fish and a bit of bread. It's what you have going further than what it could look like in the natural. That's a miracle. And I believe God for your business. I believe God for your marriage. I believe God for you for miracles. I know right now And it's the same word again. Somebody else here that's listening to the sound of my voice. And right now, I'm speaking to yet another tumor. And in the name of Jesus, I speak healing. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by His Spirit. Don't always look for the spectacular in the supernatural. My friend, Gary Clark, who pastors London Hillsong Church, had a wart on his face. Right there, Robert, the size of a pea. It was ugly. Honestly, I always used to think to myself, why doesn't he get that wart burn off his face? He's not an ugly guy, but the wart was ugly. And all you could do when you looked at him was see the wart. And finally, one day, I went up to him. I said, Gary, why don't you get the wart burned off your face? He's a close friend, you got to know. I wouldn't say that to a total stranger. That's called wisdom. He was a very close friend. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He goes, hey, man of God, why don't you pray for it? Very good point. So I did, right then and there. I put my hand on his wart, and the first thought that crossed my mind, oh, God, I hope I don't get this. I'm just being honest. And I put my hand on the wart. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command the wart to shrivel up and die. I took my hand off it, and the wart was still there. I learned something that day. Circumstances don't confirm faith. You don't ask your body, are you healed? You ask the word, are you healed? I said, Gary, every day you think of it, touch it. Jesus' name, I'm healed. 3 days later, a wart that had been there for as long as I'd known him, for years, was gone off his face. If God can remove a wart, He can remove a tumor. If Jesus turned the water into wine then, He can turn that marriage, what feels like you are drowning in water, and He can bring wine back into your marriage again. He can put joy back in your life again. Somebody listening to me right now, and you've got depression to the point of suicide, and I rebuke that spirit of death over you. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come, says the Lord, to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Give your life to God. My brother Dennis, before he gave his life to Jesus, unbeknownst to me, had a cocaine addiction. His friends were literally injecting needles of heroin. There were so many of their veins were collapsed. The only vein left in their body was their eyeballs to get the hit. And his friends were injecting needles into their eyeballs. My brother Dennis didn't want to end up like that. And I used to pray for him, Dennis, you got to give your life to Jesus. And the more I prayed for him, the worse it looked. It looked like he was getting further and further away. But little did I know that God was doing something in the spiritual realm. One day, the Holy Spirit said, get down into your shed and pray for your brother Dennis. And I prayed for him. And the Spirit prayed through me. And I started shouting my brother's name, Dennis! God, I'm asking for Dennis. Somebody needs to hear this. Dennis. Little did I know, Dennis was in the house, comes running down the shed, thinks his little brother's ripped his foot off on the lawnmower, has really injured himself. And there I am kneeling on the great Australian altar, the barbecue. And I'm praying, God, save him. He rips open the door and says, what? And here's his brother just weeping before God. I said, Dennis, when are you going to give your life to Jesus? He says, you make me sick. That next week, my brother just decided, I'm sick of this. I can't live with this addiction. He couldn't hold it. He couldn't hold his hand straight. He was shaking. Didn't want to end up like his friends. Started driving his car at literally 100 miles an hour for a tree. Thought he'll just kill himself rather than finish up like that. When all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminded him of his little brother. Dennis! My brother starts weeping, pulls the car over and rings my father up and says, Dad, I was about to kill myself. I'm addicted to drugs and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And that's how Dennis, my brother, met Jesus. Come on, some of us, you can try to make it happen. You can try and do, but God wants it to happen more than you want it to happen. I want everybody in every campus. Come on. I believe tumors are leaving people's bodies. I believe warts are leaving people's bodies. I believe children that are away from God are going to come back to God if you'll get back in the river and know how to pray and get on your knees and let the Holy Spirit pray through you. I want everybody who's believing for a miracle, everybody who's believing for a breakthrough, to lift your hands right now. If there's a healing, if there's a business breakthrough, if it's for your marriage, if it's depression, no matter what it is, if you're believing God for faith for your business, finances, favor, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you believing that you are, and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus for an open heaven. Now let faith come. You're a way maker. You're a miracle worker in the name of Jesus. Right now. Lift your hands. Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes. May we get in over our head. Let there be miracles. Let there be miracles. Let faith come. Let fear go. God is in this room. God is in your house. God is in your hotel. God is in each and every campus. God is here. God is doing miracles right now. Right now. There are people here. You've been tormented by demons. And right now, the presence of God sets you free. People bound up with addiction. You've tried everything in your own strength. God is here all the time. You just didn't know it. Here the sun sets free. Is free indeed. Devil, I rebuke you. Get your hands off God's people. Let healing come. Let faith come. Open our eyes. Whew, man, I tell you, God is in this room. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, lean in, lean in, lean in, lean in, lean in. There are people here that need to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to just run and put your hands down. There are people here and there are people online that need to make a decision to give your life to Jesus. How many sense the presence of God here? Look at me. How many sense the presence of God here? He's here. There's the omnipresence of God. And there's the omnipotence of God. God is everywhere. Hey, here's a thought for you. This will mess up some theology for some. You know, God made hell. That hell is an expression of the wrath of God. And David said, even among my bed in hell, you are there. God's everywhere. Are you hearing me? He's everywhere. There's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can run from God. David said, if I took the wings of the morning and went from one end of the earth to the other, even there your right hand is there to guide me. The God of this world is blind to people, but I believe this morning that that blindfold is being removed and people are going to meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I will not let COVID dictate what Wave Church is doing. I will not slow down. I will not back down. I'm going on a forward foot, aggressive. There'll be more people saved now than ever in the history of this church. Come on, somebody. I'm believing people's eyes are being opened to the truth today. You believe with me? Every campus, everyone online. If you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to pray for you. Who's believing with me? People are going to meet Jesus. Amen. Who's believing with me that people maybe who once gave their life to Christ, but you know today, you know. I can't tell you how many people I meet. Oh yeah, I used to go to church. I really ought to get back one of those days. It's today. God has got you here today. I want to pray for you. You believing with me, church? Everybody online, there's a button. All you got to do is click it. I'm making a decision. I want you to click it right now. Don't hesitate now. This is your moment. Everybody in this building, everybody in every campus listening to the sound of my voice, church, can we be in faith? Come on, this is Wave Church. We exist to get heaven to celebrate. Heaven rejoices more over one person. It's already worth it for the three that have made a decision online, but there are many in every campus that need to make that decision now. Everybody, just for a moment, close your eyes, bow your heads, and be in faith, church. Come on, be in faith. If you say, Steve, pray for me, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I feel like my eyes are being opened. Steve, my heart is being warmed again to the things of God. I need to come back to God. Would you lift your hand right now all over the building? Hold it up high enough and long enough for me to see it. God bless you. God bless you. Who else will lift your hand in every campus? God bless you. Come on, let me see your hand. Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. There are others here today. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Others here today. Church, would you pray? Church, would you pray? It's not just me. Come on, it's us together believing for people. Give me a wave if I haven't seen your hands. I want to pray with you and for you in the name of Jesus. Come on, there are others here today. God bless you. I see that hand. Come on, I'm looking for you right now. My last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, God bless you right there. Give us another hand right there. See what happens when we pray? My last call. Lift it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody online, five people making decisions. Come on, let's give God a hand for every single person. It's why Sharon and I came from Australia. We had a good job. We had a good church. But God said, son, will you go? I said, I will, God, on one condition. I'm doing conditions with God. God, not just another church. Please, God, don't let just be. America doesn't need just another church. But if it can be a church that can stand out to be a soul-winning church, if it can be a church that would stand out to inspire other churches to believe God to do great things in their church, if it can be a leader church that can do something, and not just in the city, but around the nation, around the God, amen. You're going to do something. Let's believe God for big things. Amen. Everybody pray this prayer. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, I'm now Christian. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.